When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
What the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And then he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you f***ing idiot. You know? I was like, oh, geez, this guy's definitely not coming here now.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
Kind of the main difference is that we're just pouring our hearts and souls into the sport. And I know our guys want to win. And that's what hurt in that moment. And what I had to kind of overcome and come to the realization, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Whether you are grocery shopping, doing homework, it doesn't matter. We're glad you decided to join us here on episode number 10 of Athletes Unfiltered. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Ekstrom, and as always, his Nebraska quarterback, Adrian Martinez. Adrian, episode number 10. We're at that mile mark. How's it feel?
Feels good. Feels good to be at the 10 episode mark. I just know we have so much more in store, and this is sort of the beginning. So excited we've made it this far and that it's kind of evolved in front of our eyes, and that's been pretty cool. And excited for this episode as well.
We're going back to the O-line room this time. We've already had Cameron Juergens on, and we've had a couple of others. But O-line group, Bryce Benhart, Turner Corcoran joining us here. And we got some good things to talk about with them.
Yeah, we definitely do. I'm excited to get these guys on, these young pups. my two tackles, love them to death. They're really quality dudes, and just the sheer size of them is something to see.
Yeah, certainly. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the O-line room. I mean, recently they had the whole O-line got a deal with Muchachos, right?
Yeah, Muchachos. I love seeing that. I guess it was like they got the Pipeline burrito. Mm. They've also made a Twitter account called The Pipeline. Done a lot of cool things there, just sort of making the most out of their NIL experience, you know. My guy, Matt Sichterman, he graduated software engineer. I think he's getting his master's now as a software engineer, something like that. I mean, the guy is just super smart is what I'm trying to say. He's absolute stud, worked at Huddle during the summer, just a jack of all trades. But he's kind of seems like the head honcho of organizing some of the NIL deals. There's a lot of passion in that group to get that stuff done. So excited that they got that. I think we have some more stuff coming in the future. Hopefully I'm integrated in that as well. But those guys have some things going for them. I think when we win some games this year, only more things will come.
And it's interesting because I feel like the offensive line room is such a unique fraternity on its own that NIL just is a natural fit for something like that.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree. You know, there's a real sense of, I mean, there's brotherhood across the team, the O-line room is different in a way. And you'll definitely hear our guests touch on that. But NIL and being able to, you know, a company, whatever, being able to adopt a whole room, a room that has an identity, the pipeline, which I know we'll touch on, but it's really cool to have seen for me, guys, when I was a freshman, they were seniors, and just the kind of the culture in that room and how it was established by Coach G and some of those older guys and how it's truly carried over to now. Yeah. And those guys have held on tight to that, and I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting too because, like you mentioned, these guys are on the younger side, freshmen, sophomores, and this year is kind of the first year of the changing of the guard. I mean, the guys who were older, like Farniak and whatnot, that were here when Frost came in, they were in the previous regime. Now all those guys are mostly gone, and now it's all Frost guys, and they're all kind of a mix. They're young and old, but still, it's kind of like a changing of the guard a little bit.
Yeah, I would say it is. You know, guys like Matt Farniak and Brendan Hymus, guys who played a significant amount of time on the line. We had like Bo Wilson, some other pieces in there that had a lot of starts under their belt as Nebraska Cornhuskers, and they're not here anymore. But that culture still remains. Yeah. I mean, I feel it, and I love it. But there is a changing of the guard of, like, guys who were recruited by Frost are in those positions now. So it's been cool to see that. Yeah. It has. But that culture's been steady with Coach G at the top there and those guys just embracing it. And it's truly a great example for the rest of the team.
And for you, Adrian, too, I mean – does it kind of feel weird a little bit, too? Because you're the first group that came with Frost here. Now you're a senior. You've seen the culture change throughout your 4 years here in some of the hardships and whatnot that the team has had to go through to get that culture established. I mean, how does it feel now to be that old dog and seeing all that change?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like an old dog. Yeah. You know what I mean? truly do feel like an old guy in the locker room. It's just funny how it goes. But I love my role. You know, I love being that guy who has experience and hopefully is able to influence the younger guys in a positive way, in a way that'll only make them better individually and as a collective in the program moving forward. So I cherish my role. And I take it seriously. You know, it was a little bit weird whenever I got to that point where it kind of clicked with me, like, yeah, I am one of the older guys on this squad. But I love it. You know, I remember the guys who influenced me when I was first coming in, like the Gerald Fosters and the Stanley Morgans and Divine Ozigbo, and how much I looked up to those guys at that moment. And now I'm in that role. Yeah. So,
and I think I want to kind of get your perspective on this, too. As that quarterback, you're always the leader of the team. But how has your leadership style had to change as you get older? Because not only do you have to focus on winning games and the success of the team right now, you also have to prepare to nurture and mentor the guys that are going to take over once you're gone as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a blend of leading by example and leadership is performance, and performance is leadership. So that's something that my coach, Coach Verdue, always says, and that comes down to, you know, for me, it's what it looks like in the weight room, off the field, meals, just the little things. It's got to be constant. Yeah. And that's a little bit of example. And then performance is generated through practice and through games. So executing on the field and doing it every single day. And that's just something that I've sort of continued to evolve in my time at Nebraska. I feel like I've always sort of been in that role in a way, and now that I'm older, I'm just better equipped to do that the best way possible.
You know who's equipped at protecting Adrian's blind side? A couple guys we have coming
up. Nice.
Turner Corcoran and Bryce Benhart. Coming up on episode 10 of Athletes Unfiltered. Don't go away. Plenty up ahead.
Who is the best player you guys have played against? So, like, individually. Best player, college, high school, JUCO, whoever.
I mean, I played against Christian McCaffrey in basketball.
Could you, at the time, did you know, like, wow, this dude is just so
He's
different?
He's an all-pro future.
I don't know what it was. We hung around NFL players all the time. But Christian McCaffrey, during my middle school and high school experience, like, I knew he was going to be great. He was great. He was unbelievable. He was in his flow state from the first snap to whenever they took him out because they're winning by X amount of points.
Yeah.
Most of the time, he had some absurd, like, touchdowns on first touch in his high school career, like 20-plus. Touched the ball, first play of the game, tubby. So, I forgot the question. But I got Matt. Oh, yeah.
Best player you've ever
played. It's got to be him. Even though I never played against him.
In basketball?
Yeah. I could feel his energy. I could feel his presence as an athlete on the basketball court.
I do remember sizing him up. I remember being at that game. He was sizing him up. He was like, you know.
I went and stood next to him when they were shooting free throws. Just wanted to get a better look.
He was trying to get in his head.
Yeah. See how I stack up.
What about in college?
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins was probably the most elite running back I've faced. I mean, I was young and not as good or athletic as I am now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he did me dirty once or twice.
Just power-wise or kind of ability to move?
Both. Like reading, like I had force and he's 2 yards inside of me, and next thing you know, he's 2 yards outside of me, and it's like, where did 13 go? Mm. Yeah, I didn't know. My face was in the dirt. So
it must be a freshman thing, because that's another answer of playing a freshman year.
We've asked a couple people that, and we kind of asked the question, like, you know, is it because we were young and maybe we weren't as experienced or as talented, you know, whatever.
Right.
And at the moment, like, wow, this dude is so good. But if I played that same player my senior year, would he feel as good to me?
Exactly. Then,
you know?
Right. That's a great point. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's kind
of. Yeah, because to answer my part of it is definitely it was Josh Odom. He was a running back / linebacker at Pine Creek, and I played against him in practice when I was like a freshman sophomore.
Yeah.
And he hit people harder than I've ever seen in my life. And he was juiced up and like just crazy thick, like Saquon thick. And you know, I'm 14, 15 years old, and this dude's 18, and, you know, parts like the Red Sea, and he comes to sack me. That definitely leaves a lasting impression.
For sure.
But I'd say in college, though, I faced some crazy dudes. I remember one dude in Southern California. He was committed to Alabama at the end.
So he's a freak then.
Yeah.
I faced a couple, but I would say, I mean, when it comes to just overall, like, crazy ability, it'd still be JoJo in practice. He would make sure I'd never score in practice. I would, like, break a run, and he would, like, hawk me from, like, 30 yards away just to, like, make sure, like.
Get him right.
Or else he'd come home and over dinner and be like, Mom, Dad, I scored on the starting defense. I scored on the black shirts. JoJo's out there.
No chance.
Right?
Can't let it happen.
Right. No way.
Yeah.
Is that a good segue? Should we go on?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
You know, and this is why I don't want to go on social media too often. Like, the first article that came out about me with my commitment was he lacks any sort of size and that he's going to be zero push to the starter this next year. And I was like, I screenshotted it, and I was like, awesome. Like, I can't wait to hang this up and let it be fuel. Mm. It was honestly, it was really funny just because, like, I feel like you know you're doing something when you finally start to receive the hate. Because I hadn't, you know, being a JUCO dude and being at Campbell, I was a nobody, so there was no.
That's a great way to look at it.
There was no need for hate.
Yeah.
Right? Mm.
You're stepping in your worth, and people are already trying to
get you down. Yeah, it was really comical, but it also then goes to show, like, you just can't get too high or too low.
Yeah, you can't put stock in those people's opinions.
Right. No,
it's the man in the arena type of deal, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, I've never told you this, but like I share your adversity. Your sophomore year, more often than, I don't even know, not even more. I share it when people ask, because it's easy. It's almost easier for me because I see it. I see it. We've been through it, like, on different journeys, but definitely, like, kind of same result of, like, humbling ourselves and removing and finding our own identity outside of football. So, like, bro, mad respect to you, and I'm so happy that you're our quarterback and that I'm back. Could not be more appreciated, bro.
And he's being sincere about that, because every time I've asked him, like, yo, man, what you think about the QB position? He's like, bro, I'm solid on our guy. He always says he's solid with you, for real.
Appreciate that.
So,
my God.
Yes, sir.
You already know.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's a different monster out here.
Right? It is. We signed up for it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny about our journeys is that, like, he was just, like, thankful if he got, like, Wyoming. And I was the dude that So he got heavily recruited. I didn't get recruited barely any. Right? I mean, I got letters and stuff, but, like, yeah. no official offers at a high
but
school.
But your expectation.
But mm. in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to SC.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like, I was such a dreamer as a kid. Not realizing, like, the level, caliber of player you have to be. Right? So I always thought, it's funny, I always thought I was better than I actually was. And then I finally, like, caught up to where my thinking was.
Yeah.
Your belief in yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just funny because this dude's always, like, been dominant every fucking thing he's done. And then he's like, oh, I'm cool with Wyoming. And I'm over here like...
I'll be happy if I get drafted.
I'm over here like average. Yeah. I'm over here like average as fuck. Like, yeah, I'm going to SC and get drafted.
Right. Like, you need more of this, I need more of this. And it's why we're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
No doubt, though. Because, I mean... They're both good things, but ideally you have a marriage of it, you know? Mm. It's just hard.
Balance.
It's fucking yeah. hard.
Are you guys big social media people?
Trying to, now that we can benefit from it.
Yeah. I think this will hopefully help a little bit. It will boost this show.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I would say I was a lot in high school, mm-hmm. and then when I lived in Ventura with my sister, because she would just take a lot of photos, but not really.
We were talking about this earlier. Like, we used to make videos, Vines before there were Vines, like, of us doing some silly-ass stuff.
Yeah, we used to
love...
We used to love social media when it wasn't popular, and then now that it's too popular, we're like...
Nah.
Yeah,
you kind of got to give yourself some space from it.
Definitely. And that's the thing that's so hard for me about this whole, like, image and likeness thing that sucks.
Yeah.
Is, like, I've always been, like, wanting to lean towards the being more private side,
yep.
you know, and, like, not having to put everything out there or be super on my phone or this or that. Like, it's always been, like, a goal of mine.
And what I found with that is, like, I couldn't do this unless I was being my most authentic, unapologetic self. Mm. And if I wasn't being that, like, it wouldn't sit right with me. I would be doing it for the wrong reasons. Now it's an ego, check instead of just like an authentic interaction over a social platform. Like, it's so polarizing, clickbait, likes, like the whole thing plays with your mind so much. And really, if you could just post and get off and not really give too much of a damn about what people think about it, like when I post,
dude, like, it's human nature though. Like, there's exactly. a dopamine trigger effect with all that stuff.
I mean, yeah. I think that I know that a lot of NFL players have people that run their account. Mm-hmm. I'd be so down for that, as long as you're not shitty at captions. Like, dude, let you handle it. And
yeah, that'd be huge. If only. You know what's crazy is I've kind of been encouraged to find, like, management.
Right.
But how do you even do that if you're in college and you can't really get an agent?
Yeah, no, you almost need, like, someone you trust, like a family member.
But then
like
find someone that like knows what they're doing, though, too.
Yeah, right. For us, we have our sister who, she's been on Instagram before anyone was on Instagram, and she has this eye for, like, how to do stuff. So we're lucky in that sense.
That might be unique in that way, but, yeah, that would be tough. Like, who can you trust? Who actually knows what they're doing?
Yeah, for sure.
These aren't...
That was some good stuff right there. Are these things on?
Yeah, I've been recording.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't stop recording the entire way. Yeah.
Oh, these are all right.
Sweet. So that was way more laid back. That was
maybe it makes it in.
Episode, as always, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom with you here. We have three other guests to join us here. You heard them on the regular episode, but now a little more, a little extra content. Damian Daniels, Ty Robinson, and Tate Wilderman is going to hop on with us here.
Yes, sir.
Tate, how's it going, boys?
I'm doing good.
soft-spoken. I'm so humble.
I'm honored to be the first extra episode. I didn't really think that was a thing, but I'm honored.
What I wanted to ask you guys, I think it's a very important question. What is your favorite movie or movies? What are you looking for? What's kind of your genre?
Man, me personally, I love the Marvel. Starting off, I love Marvel.
Mm, me too. How big of a Marvel fan are you, though? Like, really? You seen all the movies? You got Disney Plus?
I got Disney Plus. I seen all the movies, the old ones, like the Hulk, like even those, the ones that aren't on Disney Plus. Mm. Yeah, I've grown up to be a Marvel. I like DC, but it's just something about Marvel that always stuck with me. Mm. So, yeah, I've grown up being a Marvel fan. Like, I still to this day rewatch some of them.
Oh, yeah.
No,
so
yeah.
Who's your favorite superhero then?
My favorite superhero is got to be Thor.
Facts. Mm. Yeah. Big facts, bro.
That's mine, too, yeah.
Thor's goated.
God of Thunder. How can you not go wrong with that?
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok.
So good.
Yeah. So good.
Their funniest movie.
Funniest movie, entertaining, music was great, you know. What about you? What about you guys?
Well, I've never really seen... I've only seen Endgame. And Infinity War.
That's the one you've only seen?
And Infinity War.
So you basically just watched the end of the whole thing.
Pretty much, yeah. But it was a good spot to pick up on.
No, the best one to pick up on is the first Iron Man, and made in 2008.
Yes. The first Iron Man's also up there.
I really wish they didn't. I mean, I understand why they went like the more child-friendly version, but I mean, the original Iron Man. And that was made. I mean, that was
so good.
So good.
So good. An instant classic. Instant classic. So, I mean, outside the Marvel universe, what are some of your favorite movies? Come on, speak up, Shy Guy.
I would say I like Titanic.
Cut it out.
Titanic's always a great movie.
Cut it out.
No. Do not cut this out.
Cut it out.
I thought it's a movie I can watch over and over again. And
really? You can watch that over and over again?
Yeah, yeah. It's a classic. I've always been interested in Titanic. I don't know why. Also interested
I don't know why.
In dinosaurs, so Jurassic Park series.
Jurassic Park series and Titanic are your favorite movies ever.
No, I like... My favorite, if I had to say, like, a movie I could watch...
Toy Story.
Over and...
Shrek.
No. I mean, you're naming a great movie.
Now you're just naming classics that everybody
likes.
No,
this dude Tate likes, like, hey, I like anything. Shrek. Like, just out of random. Like, just randomly.
I like Forrest Gump. I'd say Forrest Gump.
That's a good one.
That's a good movie. I mean, I can't...
That might be one of my favorite, I'd say. Yeah.
Ty?
I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place. Coach Duvall put me on to Goodfellas. I love that movie. Goodfellas is a great movie.
Little mob.
Can't go wrong with that. But I'm a big Indiana Jones fan.
Yes.
Have you been on the ride?
Yes.
That ride broke down on me when I went on and we had to like walk through the cave. It's fucking scary.
That must have been dope, though.
It wasn't when I was a kid.
Universal Studios.
Yeah.
But big nerd. I like Star Wars. Star Wars is better than Star Trek. I said it, but
that's a fact.
I think that's a fact. That's not really. I don't even disagree.
That's not disputed.
Hey, there's people out there. Yeah. You don't know. But I mean, like Shrek, you can't go wrong with Shrek. Toy Story, classic.
Mm. So, what about like the best animated film? If we're diving into this, because I'm a big, little bit of a soft spot of mine. I'm a big like Disney movie guy.
Yep.
They're just like great stories. You know what I mean? Like the Finding Nemo's, Finding Dory, Toy Stories are all bangers. You know,
Soul hit different.
Soul. A banger. Yep.
The Lion King. You can never sleep on the Lion. Like it's just a classic.
A good one that actually came out, I think this year, was Raya and the Dragon.
I actually saw that on Disney Plus. But I wouldn't put that up there. Like
it's not up there. I'm just saying, like, animated films. For 2021, that's a good one.
Yeah.
For me, it's Moana. I love the movie Moana. It has a great soundtrack, and I love the characters in it, and The Rock's in it. So.
The Rock, the GOAT. The Rock is just so freaking legendary.
He's everywhere. He was Miami offensive line during their prime to
D-line.
Do your shit right, Ty.
I'm sorry. D-line to now a...
Shut up, bitch.
To now a famous celebrity that does movies and whatever. Yeah, really, dude, whatever he wants to do.
He's a WWE wrestler. Yeah. I mean, the guy's been all over the place. As far as, like, life, you can't say he's probably not... done damn near everything he's wanted to do.
Yeah.
If not more.
Like, guy's done it all.
And he's jacked.
He has his own clothing line, I know, with Under Armour. I don't know if you see that stuff ever, but, like, it's pretty sweet.
It's good stuff.
Dude's doc. Yeah. He's what you strive for.
Don't he have his own drink too, like his own liquor or something?
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and don't worry, we're gonna have plenty.
Tequilas.
Yeah, Conor McGregor, that's the big one I know. From Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. We'll talk to you soon.
He was in Omaha a couple months ago doing that.
He was in like a Hy-Vee in Omaha.
Yes, it was so.
Yeah, I remember. Wow,
I was there. I was there. My girlfriend, she drugged me out there. She told me I didn't want her sitting in line by herself. But yeah, I ain't gonna lie, it was a shit show. It was a dude. He was driving around in this Tahoe, and he had about 15s in his trunk. And next thing you know, like, you know, you notice people like that. And then he ended up leaving. And then I kid you not, 10 minutes later, he came with like a 2008 Mustang with the same speakers in the trunk. And I'm like, ain't that the same motherfucker?
He's trying to flex on dudes or what? What's going on?
I don't know what he was doing, but everybody was out there. They was like, I thought the same thing. That is the same guy, so I don't know. But, yeah, it was just a good time, though. But it was
back,
a shit show.
Back to McGregor, did you watch the fight?
I hate that.
I'm glad I didn't waste my money.
That's why you pirated it. That's what we did. We pirated it.
Yeah, like stream it on like a computer. Right? Yeah. You definitely got to pirate it. But you could get kicked off of that like any second, so it's a little risky.
I'm not going to lie. I actually watched on Instagram Live. Somebody made a fake account, and he was streaming it live on Instagram. I legit watched the whole first round.
That's all it was, right? Dude, yeah. I feel like there's been a lot of those injuries lately. Like, I watched the last UFC fight card, and like a dude snapped his leg. Like, I hate seeing that shit.
And it's all so brutal.
And you could make a debate that it's kind of taken over boxing, but if stuff like that keeps happening, like
the leg checks, it's always the leg checks. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so yeah.
Like making them like, kicking them.
Yeah,
or they get them getting kicked. You know,
it's not like other sports where these guys are just tearing their ACLs or just something where it's like you don't. It's not an obvious sign that you see it.
Yeah.
With UFC, it's just
some Kevin
break your leg. Just yeah. It bends in half right there in front of you.
Not just that.
Yeah.
You think they'll not show it again, but they'll show it.
I'll be like, I can't watch. But then they're watching.
I can't watch.
But do you see his leg right there?
Bro, give me a break.
Man was talking to his game though after.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I think the. Your wife is in my DMs. I think that's what put me over. That made me laugh so hard.
Dude, wasn't he, like, really pissed off about that? Wasn't that, like, a line that was crossed or whatever?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't really in tune with
that.
Well,
I mean, if someone's telling you that your wife of however long is in somebody else's DMs.
I think it's bullshit, though.
He talked about his wife, and he said he was going to kill him or something like that while he was on the ground with a messed up leg, you know?
Yeah. So. Jeez. McGregor made a ton of money off that anyways. Yeah. Like, way more than the guy who won the fight. Like, I don't even know that dude's name. Poirier.
Poirier.
Like,
shout out
he kind of won.
From the boot.
The boot.
Louisiana.
What are you talking about?
Louisiana.
just talking random?
Yeah. Just shout out to people from the boot. They know who that is.
This freaking dude.
Welcome to the Jackoff Hour.
Let's talk some more football. Let's talk best practice moment in college. We'll just leave it at that. Let's leave it a little broad.
It has to be a fight. It got to be. One of the best Nebraska moments had to be. It was probably that day. We had 300-something high school coaches in the stands, and it was just we just ended practice with a big brawl. It was just fun. Just being out there with everybody and just taking the punishment afterwards and just hearing Coach Frost talk after that. It was just a good time.
We were just talking about that today.
Yeah, we were talking about it today.
On the field.
Yep.
After, like, for reference, both sidelines got completely cleared, full-on brawl right in the middle of the field.
Yeah. There's a little rivalry, like defense, offense, and it usually always spurs, like, from the D-line and O-line and fall camp, that kind of – whatever you want to call it, just intensifies, and there's bound to be a couple fights.
So it was, like, legit. It wasn't, like, kind of, like, half-joking, half...
No, it was full on. Someone gets taken to the ground, and then people just start flying in left and right.
But it's just, like, in the heat of the moment. Like, afterwards, You know, it's we it's a brotherhood. Yeah, so yeah. You know, brothers fight. It's all love.
Yeah, yeah, everybody all know love. That. Yeah.
Wasn't it with him?
Who? Wait, hold on. Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
I was on the sideline running in, and there's like this big wall in front of me, and I just kind of like jumped over the top and like.
Superman punch.
No, he didn't even do that. He like jumped in and like back first. Like,
oh,
he
did, like, that was flip. Something else. That was
that's
that
what I'm talking
that
about.
That was a different
though.
Time.
That's
yeah,
what I'm talking
that
about.
Was a different time.
This is and different. One of the other ones.
I don't one know. Of the other mini fights.
I just see like this huge fight break out, and I just see like I don't even know. Tate just goes runs, and he just jumps like boing. And then he just falls right in the middle, not even doing nothing, and then
just jumped on the pile.
Yeah, just jumped on the pile.
Dude, Will Farniak was the funniest dude to watch in fights. Oh, or, like, in a fight. Like, if Matt Farniak, his older brother, got in a fight, he was the first one there. And who was the dude that he was just gut punching, like, throwing jabs?
Casey Rogers.
It was Casey Rogers. Casey is
Lori Rogers.
He's a key character in the... In those fights, I feel like he instigates a lot of those with the O-line.
Man.
Am I right?
Yeah.
You could say that.
It goes back and forth.
It does.
The O-line.
They got Casey's number. Just put it
down. Who's the biggest smack talker during practice?
Yeah, the D-line probably.
The D-line for sure. Ty always tries to talk smack to me, but it never works.
Don't even. Don't even.
I only talk mess if I get mad, really.
Mm. I remember that the scrimmage that we had. It was what, spring ball?
Yeah.
That was when Coach G yelled at us.
Oh, yeah. I was mic'd up that day. And Ty was nuts. I don't know what it was. Ty was mic'd up probably like the practice before. And I was the one, yeah, and I was the one talking the most mess. But as soon as I got the mic, I was the one quiet, and Ty was just going in, like it was crazy. Like I've never seen Ty like that, and he got under. It was a
practice for you guys. Yeah, it was a bad one for the offense. Yeah. What I'm saying, like I remember it as a terrible practice.
Yeah. Was that the one where he had to run? The defense had to run?
The defense had to run for, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even now. These salty dudes. I don't even listen to them.
Now, who won majority of the battles last year?
There's never, like, a winner.
Yeah.
There's not.
Yeah. No,
people,
not really.
People, like, whole, we started this new thing, like, hey, if people get in a fight, like, we're just going to let them duke it out. Wow. And not have people flying in. Because people just start flying in all over the place, and bodies are all fucking getting banged around. And it's a shit show. And then eventually people just get tired and like whistles blowing. It's like, all right, like let's keep practicing.
You know? Because I can remember poor Eli Richter. I mean, this dude was on the ground. He wasn't even a part of the fight.
Oh, yeah.
He's like on his knees, and you just see a lineman come out of nowhere and just clean him. Just the fight's happening somewhere else, and he just gets clocked.
Yeah, like, people are getting clocked all over the place. So it's
blindsides. Like,
it's bad. Yeah, dude, yeah. Supposedly the video team has all the fights.
Yeah. Really?
Like they have them all.
Wow.
Saved. But they cut them out. So, like, obviously. Go back and watch film, and a fight will break out at the end of a play, but that doesn't make it.
Yeah.
What does make it goes to the freaking video team and just, like, the normal play we see. Yeah. So we got to, like, seek it out if we want to see it again. I'll never forget, random side note, probably the last thing. Remember Khalil? I used to – me and the Davis twins used to go at it all the time.
Shout out my boys, the
Shout
Davis
out
twins.
Shout out the boys, the Davis twins. And we loved each other. Like, they're awesome. But – it's kind of an unwritten rule, and I'm going to sound like a pansy when I say this, but, like, you're not supposed to hit the quarterback, right? So I keep the ball in this one play, and one of the Davis twins, like, grabs me by the shoulder and, like, kind of wrestles me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, grab the football, and I'm, like, trying to fight him. Like, I'm getting held back. I'm trying to fight
time,
one of the Davis twins.
The first time was Khalil. First time was Khalil. Second time it was Carlos, and they got put out.
I threw the ball in my left hand because my right hand was, like, being held back. I threw the ball at his helmet. Like, I was all being a bitch.
I like how David just remembers everything about that. Because, you know,
the fights, majority of the fights in practice happened with the D-line. Yeah. So,
yeah. All of them, probably.
I'd say
I would agree with that.
So, over 90%.
Well, you are Nebraska football, getting the fights all the time, but, you know. It's fun.
Yep.
Hey, we still love each other.
It's all love.
That's all, it's man. All in love,
the locker
yeah.
Room, there's no beef in the locker room.
No, so never, never. Never. And I'm, you don't get in fights with the DBs, but I might start a fight this fall, Campbell and the DBs, bro. I was about to, me and Markel were getting after this spring.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it, but maybe not me, because they probably won't let that happen. But
shit, if you get out there with one of the D-linemen, we're going to stop you from doing that with the DBs.
I talk smack with them all the time. It's just more of like the actual, you know, that one.
I'll be up.
Side note, this one moment in practice, like, Markel kind of gave me a little nudge or whatever. I was like, all right, like, come at me next time. Let's go. And I run in some speed option to the right side. And I forgot I had said that because it was like early in practice. And this is the end of practice. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, he's about to hit me. I kind of forgot. He fucking comes and like lowers his shoulder. And we just like a real actual hit. Like, I don't get contact until the season.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, let's go. I got back in his face. Like it gets me hyped. I feel like I need it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like that. It kind of brings the best out of me.
Well, there you have it. Behind the scenes of Nebraska football. Thank you guys for joining us, Damian, Ty, and Tate.
Hey, thank y'all for having
us.
And thank you to all our listeners, our supporters.
A Huda Media Production.